Hi there, this is Laureate Hughes of Four Leg Rehab Incorporated, your place for online canine rehab education. And in today's audio, this is a business and marketing audio number 10. And this one I want to talk about increasing your revenue. And this audio comes to you from, it's a compilation of a number of different places where I have heard this material and then most recently, you know, heard it again and in a way that was particularly pertaining to healthcare practices, so physical therapy practices. And so I have to give credit to, you know, information that I've compiled from Dan Kennedy, Brendan Burchard, and Allie Brown, as well as, and those are all kind of marketers, information marketers, really cool resources for business and marketing. And then the last one being Paul Wright, who is a physical therapist in Australia, who also has a membership website that discusses business in regards to physical therapy practice. Good. And me, because I'm the one who compiled it and add in my own thoughts and perspectives in regards to canine rehab. So I want to start off with the thought process here, and this was brought up, is why do healthcare professionals operate poor businesses? And certainly in physiotherapy, I mean, you can get a group of physical therapists together and conversation can always turn to, oh my goodness, you know, frustrations with business. And really, I think it boils down to because we believe ourselves, and it has been drilled into us, that we are healers and caregivers and not salespeople. And I don't know where it sits within the veterinary industry, although I believe it's very similar in that we really look at the skills that make us good healthcare practitioners. But we need to be having courses and classes that talk about business, talk about business, entrepreneurship, and marketing. And even if you're not the owner of that business, you have got to be selling your services, selling your diagnosis, selling your recommendations to the client. Okay? So really, it doesn't matter what business you're in, but certainly healthcare fits into this. It requires salesmanship and strategy. So here we go. That's what I want to talk about today. So let's go first to, in order to multiply your business, you need to understand the following equations. So first off is leads times conversion rates equals customers. Okay, so leads means getting people who are interested in using your services, who actually check you out, who walk through the door, who look on your website, or you talk to at a lecture you're giving, at a just someone in the park, walking their dog, whatever. Taking those leads and converting them. So being able to get those people that, you know, they say, I might be interested in this, converting them so that you can turn them into customers. Okay. And then the second equation is that customers times the number of transactions that they would make times the average dollar value per sale is going to be your income. Okay. So if we look at, if you want a higher income, you either look at increasing your customers, increasing the number of transactions, pardon me, or increasing the average dollar sale. Okay? Any one of those three is what looks at increasing your income. And then the last equation is that income times your margins, or take away your margins, or whatever you want to look at that, in relation to your margins, okay, is your profit. So your margins being your expenses and such. Okay, so let's get into breaking it down into all those pieces and what you can be doing. So if we want to get more leads and convert them into customers, here's some things you need to think about. One, what is your unique sales position? Okay, unique sales. What is unique about your USP? Okay. So, for example, do you do house calls? Well, then you are going to, your shtick, your, your brand, shall we say, is that you are convenient. You can be treating for the comfort of the dog. They don't have to go anywhere. Convenient, you're in their own home. It's more accessible and easy, let's say, for the old dog or the neurologic dog. That's going to be your unique selling position, okay? Let's say you are in a facility that has all top of the line. So you have over $150,000 worth of equipment dedicated to getting your pet better, faster. Okay, you got all the bells and whistles. That becomes your unique selling proposition. Okay, so that is, and you want to make it about the benefits. So all of this stuff is not just rah-rah, I've got all this stuff. It is there dedicated to getting your pet better. Okay, now let's say you're in a rehab-only practice. Now your unique selling position is that you are focused and dedicated to rehab only. You are not swayed. Everything you do, all of your learning is all dedicated to rehab. So you're going to be, presumably, let's say, or you're going to put out the impression that you are superior to the others out there. But let's say you are within a regular vet practice. Well, then your USP is going to be that you are ready to serve all of your pet's medical needs. Okay? So think about what is your USP. What can make your services unique and different? And you're gonna hammer that in your marketing. And when you're selling it to whatever, your referral sources, veterinarians who might refer to, if you're talking to potential clients, if you're putting this on your website, your brochures, etc. Okay, so that's USP. Now, you also want to think about risk reduction. So how can you reduce the risk for a client, a customer who wants to do business with you? So they're like, well, you know, geez, this is, I don't know if it's going to work for Muffin. I've taken Muffin to, you know, 3 different vets and 2 different therapy places, and I don't know. So can you provide some sort of a guarantee? So the one that I thought was fascinating from a animal perspective or healthcare perspective was this one that this Paul Wright, the physiotherapist, the Australian guy, said that in his clinics they guarantee, money back guarantee, that you are satisfied with your consultation, that you basically get a thorough consultation. And he says, I know all my therapists are fabulous. I know they're going to be giving a thorough consultation that nobody is going to renege on. He says, in what was it, 20 years, he says he's only had to twice give anybody any money back. Because you can always offer, well, you know, maybe you would you rather a consultation with one of the other therapists, then would you rather, you know, we refer you somewhere else and pay for that consultation? He says only twice has it ever come up that somebody took him up on that. But if you do something like that, you take away the risk. They say, okay, well, why not try this? Why not try it? Because if I think they're full of rubbish, then I will tell them that and I get my money back. So anyways, put it something, you can't guarantee results. You can't guarantee, you know, I guarantee your dog will walk again, but you can guarantee that you are going to be thorough, and really you should be. So there's an idea. Maybe you can provide a bonus item or a bonus service. So whether that is, come in for a consultation and receive a gift voucher for whatever, an underwater treadmill session or a massage session or something along that lines, or maybe it's a physio ball, or think about what you could do to provide a bonus item or bonus service so that it's like, okay, I get this, but I'm also going to get that. And then other ways to reduce the risk or try and get people to think, you know what, this feels like the right thing, is what could you provide that gives them a taster? of you, right? Is that free education? Is that articles or videos on your website? A lecture you provide where people can sort of say, you know what? I've seen that person. I've read their information. I really think that that they're the ones that if anybody can help my dog, it's going to be them. So those are some ideas for risk reduction. Okay. You might also look at who you could partner with, partnerships with your referral sources. So whether that's, again, sending thank you notes to them, working collaboratively, treating your referral sources well, doing things just for them, anything like that that can strengthen your partnerships can also help to reduce it might help to reduce the risk and be a USP, but really you think about they are the ones who are going to help be your salespeople. So if you nurture your relationship with the referring vet down the street, then he or she sells your services as much as the person who's coming in, who is looking. It's like, you know what, this, you know, if anybody can help your dog, it's going to be you, right? So that might be an option. And then also think about referral programs. So that, how could you do, you know, if you refer a friend, receive whatever, free underwater treadmill session, receive, what can you do that could honor and acknowledge people referring? And sometimes it's even just enough to tell your clients to ask for referrals, you know, if and whatever that might be, in a letter that goes out, a mail out that goes out that simply says, you know, you're asking for referrals, we love customers like you, you know, and if we would love if you know of any dog owners like you whose dogs you think might benefit from our services, we're so appreciative of referrals. And then do something to thank them for that. Okay? Alrighty. So that's a little bit about getting more leads and converting them into customers. And I have more ideas on that. If you purchase that marketing manifesto, that gives you a few more ideas in that regards. Okay, number two. Increase the number of transactions per customers. Okay, so this basically means get your customers coming more often. How can you increase the number of transactions? And sometimes this isn't swarmy. It's not, I'm not saying unethically get these people coming in. You know, really, think about a pro athlete with an injury. Okay, think about, oh, I'm Canadian, think about a hockey player, right? Think about a hockey player and he has injured his knee, he's injured his cruciate. Now, he wants to get better, he wants to get back to playing on the team, okay? So how often is he likely going to be at physio or PT, okay? I can guarantee you it's going to be daily. I can guarantee you it's going to be daily and it's going to be for longer than a regular half-hour session, okay? So why are you not recommending more? If we believe in our services, okay, if we believe in our services, then really it is not an unethical recommendation to say, ideally, it would be fabulous if you could bring your dog in, whatever, 3 times a week or, you know, every day. And if you don't have the space to accommodate that, then you likely need to get somebody else in, or you need to have services that might complement yours. So let's say you can come in for general physical therapy services on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you can fit them in, but Tuesday, Thursday, maybe you're not there or you're fully booked. But you know what? Do you have someone who does massage therapy? Maybe there's an acupuncturist at your clinic. Maybe those are the days they can do underwater treadmills just for general conditioning. Okay, think about if you have, make your recommendation that, you know, more often is going to give you better results faster. Okay, and then think, how can I accommodate that? Okay, where did I want to go back? Now, the other thing to do, too, is to have a look back and see, even with your own self, or if you're owning a facility with other of your practitioners in your facility, to see the average number of sessions per client. And is that different between your therapists or your clinicians? Does somebody need to pull up their socks? Okay. And what is the percentage that don't book a follow-up appointment? Because that means something. If people aren't booking a follow-up appointment, either you got them better, boom, they're out the door, oh man, I feel fabulous, or rather, my dog is perfect again, then congratulations to you. But more often than not, I'm going to bet if they're not coming back, they weren't happy. They weren't happy with your assessment. They didn't believe in you. You didn't convey to them appropriately what you thought it was, and that you had a plan to correct this. So we need to take this into account, okay, and figure out how to improve that. Now, the thought is that maybe you should aim to over-service your clients. And what I mean by over-service, again, is not in an unnecessarily treat them, whether they need it or not, but to think about provide more. More often, recommend more, schedule more. Okay? Because, and why would practitioners not do that? It's either that they have a confidence problem in their services, that maybe they don't believe in what they're doing, or they believe that, well, you know what, time heals all these things. So let's send them away, and then the dog will start to get better, and see, look, I got your dog better. No, time did. But if, so have confidence in your service, okay? And the other reason why a practitioner might not refer, it could be that there's a concern about the perceived customer financial constraints, okay? Let them tell you what they are and are not willing to do, okay? Give them, and you can give them options. You know what? The best would be to see your dog 2, 3, 4 times a week, whatever, okay? So ideas, think about these. Bring them in to do their exercises instead of relying solely on the home program. And I love home programs, and I do tell owners that, you know, you are equally responsible for your dog getting better. But maybe if they came in for you to lead the dog through an exercise session, okay, one, it might actually get done if life gets busy and you know, we've all had that where it's like, oh, you yourself, I should exercise. And I've done it before where I put on all my exercise clothes and then something comes up and then here I am sitting here at 10:30 at night still wearing my exercise clothing. And did I ever make it down to the basement to the gym? No. So, have them schedule an appointment to come in and you can do the exercises with them. Okay, another one is to tell them when you would like to see them. Okay, so instead of saying, okay, when can we see you again? Maybe you phrase that question to, I would love to see your dog again this week. Would Thursday, would Wednesday work out for you? Okay, and go from there. But if you, it's a simple phrasing of the question that might get you a ability to get that animal in more often. Okay, and again, if you don't have availability, let's say this week, then you need to bring in another therapist or bring in other services that might complement your service. Okay, so that's acupuncture, massage, chiro, homeopathy, things that might blend well. Okay. And another thought too is, you should maybe at least sound like you're hard to get into, you know? So if you're looking at the books, it's like, oh, okay, you know what? I'd really like to see you again this week. And let's say you look and it's like, oh my God, Thursday is wide open. Maybe don't tell them it's wide open. Maybe say, oh, you know what? I've got a little bit of time on Thursday. I could squeeze you in, at 4 o'clock, might that work for you? You know, or, you know, and they say, oh, that really doesn't work. You know, I need something after 5. Well, you know what? I see, if I shuffle this guy, if I shuffle some of my other clients around, I could get you in maybe at about 520. Would that work for you? Oh, that'd be fabulous. Oh, you don't mind? No, no, no. I can shuffle these folks. I want to get your dog in. So I know that sounds funny, but, you know, squeeze and shuffle. Because you, it's a perception thing, but it will make the customer feel, or rather, you know, want to get in with you because they perceive you hard to get into. Alrighty. You can also do newsletters or e-blasts to tell them what more you do. Okay, so it could be you've had that dog in and you've been looking at them for a cruciate injury, and that's all fine. But let's say they get your newsletter and they realize that, oh my goodness, you know what? I didn't realize that you also treat osteoarthritis or fat geriatric dogs. My other dog at home is fat and geriatric, and I would love to. Can I bring him in? Can I bring him in too? Like, he's not injured himself. Well, yeah. So sometimes you just need to let them know that you're doing other things. So any newsletter should be, you know, about 70%, some say 60% information, and then 30% promotion. You know what's missing in that is you need filler and fluff. You need the entertaining stuff. So it might be 60% information and 20% filler, fluff, you know, cartoons, pictures, anecdotes, whatnot, and 20% sales saying, here, did you know this is what we offer? Okay. And then go back through your books. Look at those people that have fallen off, the ones that maybe didn't come back for their second follow-up. The ones who just, you know what, they stopped coming, and do callbacks and follow-ups. What happened to them? Okay, you can often reactivate a client simply by asking, we're kind of wondering what happened. We hope everything's okay. You know, give us a shout. Just let us know how you're doing. And you know, if you need us, we're here for you. Okay, now, the next one is going to be to increase your average transaction size. Okay? And this is getting more dollars per customer. And so first off, make sure you have a good USP, unique selling proposition, sales position, whichever, because it makes your price irrelevant, right? If you are the only one in your area that's doing house calls, well, and these people are like, wow, you know what? I can't get my dog into my vehicle. It doesn't matter what your price is. You are the only one that can service their needs. Okay. Secondly, raise your prices now. You're likely too cheap, period. Okay. Think of it this way. This is another one that Aussie guy said, you know, if nobody leaves your practice, if you raise your prices and nobody leaves because of your prices, then you don't know your price point. So you likely need to raise your prices again. Okay? And until you find that point, your price point where it's like, oh boy, people stop coming because you're too expensive, then you don't even know how much you're worth. Okay? So you may need to increase, and that's the easiest way right off the bat is increase your prices. Okay. Other things you can think about offering packages. So buy 5 sessions, and that way you've got them locked in. You're going for 5 sessions. Offer combinations. So let's say if you combine services and products, let's say you could do a geriatric packaging where if you purchase these supplements, the Dr. Busby's toe grips, and an underwater treadmill session, we lump that all together and it is this price. Okay? And people might be like, well, you know what? I'm already coming to underwater treadmill. I'm already on the supplements. Why not throw in these toe grips, see what the heck they're about? Okay? So that could be something that would increase your transaction size. Okay? Bill for all of your items. So whether that is, you know, we used to be bad about TheraBand. We would have that big roll of TheraBand and people would come in and we'd just chop them off a piece and it'd be like, oh, you know, don't even worry about it. You know, what we're losing $3. But you know what? If you're looking at increasing your income, you got to charge for that $3 worth of TheraBand. Okay. Have items on display if you're in a physical business, or perhaps a handout that lists and describes the products that you sell and the other services you provide. You can also think about it like going to McDonald's. Would you like fries with that? You know, I didn't know that you sold that, you know. So we are trying to train my receptionist right now to make sure that everybody that, as she's ringing them out, she says, "Already good. Now, did you need any supplements today?" So that at least it's twigging their thought processing. Okay? And it doesn't have to be sticky. You know what? It's funny because when I go and, well, gosh, I don't know. It's been ages since I've ever bought a burger. From what I remember, you go to a place like that and they ask you, "Did you want fries with that?" I take it more, and what's funny is I have always taken it more as a, "Oh, you're unusual because you don't want fries with that. Most people want fries. Are you sure? You know, I just want to make sure that you didn't forget to order fries." And that's how I've perceived it. I've never perceived it as an upsell. And what's funny is looking back, I know exactly what it was. It was an upsell. But I never even thought about it. I just thought, man, I must be really weird because I don't order the fries. So you know what? Make your clients think they're really weird because they don't buy supplements from you. Okay. Look for and market to high-income clients. Okay, so maybe think about, well, you know what? If I had some clients that didn't care about money and, you know, didn't feel they have no qualms about paying my bills, then you know what? Or paying their bills, which helps pay your bills, then that's going to make you feel okay about your prices and you're not going to have that guilt factor all the time. Okay? Now, here's one that I thought, oh boy. So I was listening to one of these marketing things and they say, sack your bad clients or your price sensitive clients. I thought, ooh. And I thought, well, boy, that sounds callous. But think about it. We all likely have customers that make us feel bad for charging over like 1960s pricing or for using our education. So really, we have to, that's a mindset of our own. We've got to develop a thicker skin and, you know, don't worry about, you know, like I said, increasing your prices. If you got to let them go, it'll free you and enable you to provide greater services to clients that aren't whinging, that are happy to pay, that are appreciative for more servicing and better quality. You get better quality customers out of that too. So anyways, that's a mental thing. That's a mental thing for all of us. Alrighty. And number four is going to be when we're looking at income in relation to your margins equals profits. Is there any way you can snug up your margins? And that would be looking at reducing unnecessary expenses. So do you have any useless marketing? Yellow pages, for example. Yellow pages are dead. You need to have a listing, but taking out a Yellow Pages ad, I don't know who looks at the Yellow Pages anymore. What is your best use of staff or staff overlap? Okay, do you have an extended period of time where there's an overlap and there becomes a yak, yak, yak session and you're paying for two people to be doing a not so good job at the one job that they're supposed to be doing? So looking at that, better time management. Okay, so the last audio was about time management. Listen to that one. That audio, is there ways that you can do better so you're not wasting so much time, so you can be looking at ways to increase your income? Think about and look at and source out more economical options for, let's say, business cards, brochures, flyers, etc. I like Vistaprint. Vistaprint.com.ca. I don't know what else in other countries, but it's you got, there's a little tab if you go to Vistaprint.whatever. There's a little tab at the top that asks you what country you're in, and they've got things set up all over. And their business cards are really economical. We do our brochures with them. Super economical. And they always give you a discount at the end. So if you're first signing up, it's like if you're first ordering something, let's say you do brochures and you want, let's say, 150 of them, right? If you click, you want 100, and then what happens? You do the checkout, and then they say, oh, just for this last 10 minutes, we can give you 100 more at this discounted price. So I'll just let you know, they always do that, always, 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 always. So plan on being able to get more after the fact. So order what you need, or almost what you need, and then buy more when they come back to you with the last 10-minute deals. Okay? So that's an excellent source, and to look into that. And price compare for your day-to-day supplies as well. So let's say acupuncture needles. Now, your Serum needles, oh, aren't they lovely? And there's some companies now that they're making these lovely coated needles, and you try them on yourself, and it's like, oh, beautiful. Now, here's the flip side to that. If acupuncture is supposed to be stimulating the points, the argument could exist that the less smooth needles are more stimulatory. Okay, so why do you need to be spending $12 a box when $5 a box will get the job done? And you can tell yourself, well, because it is not as smooth of a needle, it's going to stimulate more. So that's just an example. But look at price comparing for your day-to-day supplies. And you might just find you get creative. Okay, get creative with what you could look at for price, or rather, expense reduction. Okay, so there you go. Go forth, make big money, prosper this year, and remember the three formulas to increasing your revenue. Leads times conversions equals customers. Customers times the number of transactions times the dollar per sale is your income. And income times your margins is your profit. Okay, so you just have to figure out where you can enhance any one of these factors and you can increase your profits. But if you tweak all of those factors, you could grow your business exponentially. So that's it for this week, and I wish you the best of luck. Cheers to your success. Bye-bye.